This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Robert Ault, who is a senior legal fellow and deputy director of the Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts as the confirmation hearings officially begin today for Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan. Kagan won't say much. Today is the day for senators to offer their many thoughts on the nomination, as well as the role of the courts. And Robert, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's been a few weeks, obviously, since the president announced this nomination. Now that we've gotten a little bit more background about her time as a clerk for Justice Marshall back in the late 80s, some of her political activity, what we've learned so far from the documents that are still coming from the Clinton Library from her time in the White House counsel's office, are you more optimistic or less optimistic about the type of justice Kagan would be?
Well, interestingly enough, a lot of questions still remain, notwithstanding the fact that we have gotten more documents. We still are facing a nominee about whom we probably know less than just about any nominee in recent history. Again, you just start with the fact that she's got no prior judicial experience. Prior to becoming Solicitor General, she had no litigation experience. Her academic record is truly sparse, notwithstanding the fact that she was the dean of Harvard Law School and a professor at Chicago. She only has a handful of academic writings compared to, say, the probably the most prominent example of an academic put on the court without judicial experience, Felix Frankfurter. He had 45 articles in the Harvard Law Review alone at the time that he was nominated to the court. And so we are kind of playing a bit of piecemeal, of a piecemeal game here. What we do see, though, is disturbing. We see open hostility to gun rights. When she was clerking for Justice Marshall, a claim was raised challenging the very law that was struck down by the Supreme Court in Heller, the complete ban on gun ownership in the District of and possession in the District of Columbia. And she, without citing a single case, simply suggested the court shouldn't hear it because she was unsympathetic to the claim. We see several times in which she has embraced a philosophy of activism, whether it was praising Justice Marshall's view that the court exists primarily to aid the despised and disadvantaged, something she called a vision of glory, or whether she's praising her judicial idol or hero, Aharon Barak of Israel, one of the leading activist judges in the world. It raises grave doubts about how it is she views the role of judging, what kind of judge she aspires to be. So obviously I think we're going to see a lot of questions about those topics and others. I guess probably the other couple of major topics that you're likely to see here over the next couple of days would be about her role in removing military recruiters from Harvard. Additional documents came out from the DOD which express, contrary to some of the early suggestions, that she was just following policy, that she took a very active role, an aggressive role in getting the military off campus when, in fact, previously they had been permitted on campus. And we also see some claims with regard to the First Amendment that are going to be raised. Again, very disturbing statement she made before the Supreme Court, suggesting that the government could even ban political pamphleteering, something which not only defies common sense, but could have led to banning the pamphlet Common Sense. So these are the sort of questions that I think you'll see, tough questions that I think you'll see her presented with tomorrow.
Robert, we've been hearing more in reports in the last few days that Republicans might be gearing up for a legitimate fight over this nomination, whereas on the Sotomayor nomination last year, most of them voted against her, but they were basically resigned to the fact that she would be confirmed. The numbers are clearly in Kagan's favor here. What kind of week do you expect?
Well, you know, this is the sort of thing that only time will tell. I mean, if you asked ahead of time with the Myers nomination, one would have thought that she would have breezed through. Again, Republicans had control, and it was a Republican presidential nominee, but obviously she was withdrawn. I think, once again, obviously it's got to be the sort of thing where opposition comes from within the Democratic Party as well. There are a few points of anxiety with regard to Kagan. big, and within Democratic supporters in particular, there are concerns about what her views are on executive power. She wrote a Law Review article on executive authority, which some fear might actually suggest that she would be a little bit too solicitous of the executive, a little bit too much of a rubber stamp. So you might see, for instance, a little bit of nervousness from Senator Feingold, were she to take positions of that sort. Yet if she actually takes too aggressive a view of the judiciary's role in monitoring, for instance, executive authority in the war on terror, that's likely to lose certain moderate Republican votes like Lindsey Graham, who might otherwise be willing to support her. So she has to walk a fine line.
We're talking with Robert Ault of the Heritage Foundation. And Robert, you mentioned before that she's never been a judge. She's had very limited courtroom appearances as a lawyer, and she hasn't written much. American Bar Association classifies her as well-qualified. What does it take to be labeled well-qualified?
It really helps if you're a liberal. At this point, the ABA's rating process has become a complete farce. I mean, if you look back to the fact that they did not give the unanimous well-qualified rating to Judge Bork, who probably was among the most well-qualified nominees of this century, and that they give it to someone. If you take a look, Ed Whalen does a fine job, as he always does, on bench memos of laying out what they claim are the particular standards, at least 12 years of practice. She's had, I think, three in terms of actual practice, the number of years of trial experience. She doesn't meet basically any of their qualification standards, and yet they gave her unanimous well-qualified. At this point, it just reveals it. It really is just a stamp of approval by crony liberals for, you know, those whose ideology they approve of, and little more than that.
Last 30 seconds here, you mentioned Judge Bork, and it came out just in the last several days here that Kagan was a big fan of how the Democrats handled that nomination. Do you expect that to impact how she's treated?
She also wrote a lengthy review of Stephen Carter's book where she talked about that as well. She praised at a certain level in there the Bork hearings in terms of the forthcomingness and the fact that actual questions were asked and answered. And, you know, most people will sort of note that was probably the last time that any nominee was terribly forthcoming about their views on legal issues. And we see what happened there. She suggested in this article that we should return to a system in which questions are actually asked and answered, and believed that the nominees should be forced by the Senate to be more candid about their view on complex constitutional issues. We've already been assured by the White House press secretary that she will not adhere to her own standard. But I think the senators, that there's an interesting line in her article in which she says, if a nominee doesn't have the sort of experience that someone like a judge Ginsburg or a judge Breyer brought, they shouldn't be able to dodge the questions because the Senate needs those answers. And I think that line should be repeated to her, and she should actually be held to that standard so that the senators can know how it is she'll approach the law.
Robert, we'll have to leave it there. We'll see how this week plays out. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Robert Ault, Senior Legal Fellow and Deputy Director of the Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.